Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Farron, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, now singing the Mike Farron Open, it's Mike Stibbs.
Just make sure it sounds sexy, Stibbs.
Lord Almighty, how can you stand Arizona? Your fair skin must be burning down into your absent soul. Mike, 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 we can barely hear you. It sounds to me like you called us from inside a hole. But your phone calls lift me higher, like the ERA of Mark Pryor. Your hair looks like it's on fire. You're Mike Farron. You're just a hunker burning.
That song means so much. Because it reminds me of our dear departed friend Mike Stibbs.
May he rest in peace.
May Stibbs indeed rest in peace.
I saw his ghost the other day.
But more importantly, baseball is back. Just watch the Cubs lose a spring training game, but I don't care because it means nothing to me. And I get to see my good friend Mike Farron.
John, first of all, congratulations on 3 Sweet 16s in the last 4 years. This is way better than your ratio of Sweet 16s in high school.
How long did it take you to come up with that joke?
About 12 seconds.
Nice.
So in other words, a Rick Pitino.
Nice.
Hey.
Mike, what have you been up to? We haven't talked to you in so many months.
Baseball.
Yeah, you got Arizona Fall League. He's been doing some research on college baseball, you know, actual research, not the crap that you give.
What are you talking about? Mike, we have a new segment called Wooden Bats and Rubber Hats, where I talk about baseball. Your thoughts?
Oh, man.
I'll have to explain that later.
Yeah.
No, I think that probably sums it up well enough. I'm sad for your listeners.
Oh, no, I give great information.
I'm glad that you finally hit the baseball. I got the baseball bug. No, it's been busy. I've been doing a bunch of spring training games, and I'm working mostly ACC stuff this year for ESPN. So I've actually got a couple games this week. Had our first one last week. So Gabby Sanchez and I have, what do we have? Clemson, Miami, Thursday night. And then North Carolina, Wake Forest on Saturday. So that'll be fun.
Are you traveling for all those, or are these remote?
No. No, they're remote.
That's too bad.
They're from the comfort of the setup that's directly behind me.
Nice.
I see the pictures on the wall, but hey, either way, it's baseball. We're enjoying it.
Yes.
But right now, the story that, of course, everyone is following is what is going on with Shohei Ohtani. What was your take, Shohei Ohtani? I know. I mean, he's only half the player he used to be, so I get why people now are not thinking.
That was my favorite line of the winter when Ken Kendrick, the managing general partner of the Diamondbacks, was like, yeah, they gave him a lot of money, but the guy's only a DH.
Well, now
that was a sick burn.
Now he's a DH and apparently a guy who gives out loans.
Big loans.
Or maybe doesn't give out loans. What was your takeaway from the press conference yesterday?
I think first and foremost, he said a lot more than I thought he would. You know, once you get attorneys involved, you tend to get like two-sentence statement that's like, I can't comment until the investigation is over. I appreciate your concern. We'll address this as soon as we can. So the fact that he was willing to go into more detail, I thought was certainly good. At least gave us a little bit better information. It confirmed a lot of what Tisha Thompson wrote on Friday in what the timeline was of what happened, right? That ESPN was has been investigating, or at least their investigative reporting team has been going through a lot of information with regards to illegal bookmaking activities, because you know, not every state has legalized gambling. I think it's with 38 in the District of Columbia right now. And through that course, they found a couple of wire transfers from Shohei Ohtani to this alleged bookmaker in California. And that's what kind of led things off. They interviewed the interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, for 90 minutes. And then because the Ohtani's crisis communications team, which had just learned about all of this apparently 24 hours before, they hired somebody to do crisis communications. They were getting up to speed. Apparently nobody saw any harm in having Ipe speak to ESPN. And then for 90 minutes, he told his story. And by the time that they got to the end of the Dodgers game, you know, their opener of the season, he addressed the clubhouse to tell them that this story was coming out, and Shohei started asking questions, and apparently what Ipe had told the Dodgers was far different than what Shohei had been told, and he had never, at least according to his account, given any of the money to Ipe to cover these, $4.5 million in gambling debts. And so, you know, I think the fact that he spoke publicly about that, I mean, that opens him up to litigation to say that, right? Because you're talking about... because they're, you know, talking about, you know, how you get this money into hands, or how it's believed, like any of that stuff is, if it were to potentially defame Ipe because it was untrue, the bar for somebody who is not considered a public figure, and I'm not sure that he would be considered one, is far lower for defamation. So anything that he did to accuse him of theft is certainly something that, you know, attorneys from Mizuhara would be on if there was untruth to it, and it doesn't seem like that has been the case, at least not as of yet. So it's, you know, listen, we got more information than we expected. I'm sure we don't know everything. I think everybody is just aghast at the fact that somebody could allow $4.5 million to disappear. And I think that probably undersells how little money that is to somebody who's extremely wealthy, and makes me question his financial planners, although I do have a financial planner. I don't have nearly that much money.
Same.
And he doesn't follow my savings account or checking account. So I think there's a lot of different things that you have to remember, that just because he's famous doesn't mean that he doesn't act like the rest of us.
Mike, biggest question that you have about this entire situation, what is it?
I guess it's exactly like, how did Ipe Mizuhara access the money from Shohei Ohtani? I think would be my biggest question. Was it he deceived his friend into doing it? Did he just have access to his accounts? Because a lot of times, and Daniel Kim, who I don't know if you guys caught the broadcast from Korea on ESPN last week.
But I did.
Yeah, but Daniel Kim was on those broadcasts, and he's a reporter in Korea, but he used to be the Korean translator when Jae Seo was with the Mets. And one of the things he said this morning was, like, you'd be surprised at how much kind of personal assistance work interpreters do, which, if you think about it, starts to make sense. You know, you have an athlete that's basically for 6 months, they can be at the ballpark every day. They don't speak the language, and there's one person that's kind of their go-between, right? Mm-hmm. So find ways to end up helping them out. So I think that to me is the most compelling question right now. And then, you know, like if there were anything untowards that came out, and certainly there's been nothing in any of ESPN's reporting or what they've had from federal agents or anything that has been said that has suggested that Shohei Ohtani is actually involved in this in any way other than his money was taken from him, or was he approved, you know, payments to be able to help his friend get out of debt. You know, I think that's the only other question I would have, is if there's something is there something untowards there? But again, like, there doesn't seem like there's any indication of that to this point.
It is entirely plausible that as an interpreter, he turned into more than just an interpreter. You know, he may have even been helping pay bills or stay on top of bills and things like, because the day to day that, you know, we do in our households, harder to do when you're constantly on the road, your season is 6 months long, and you're so laser focused on your training, BP, you know, your your bullpen sessions, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I don't think it's unusual if Ipe had a lot of access to things that you might not think an interpreter would have access to. My question, though, is this. Let's pretend, just, you know, because the biggest ooh that people might look at is, oh, was Shohei betting on baseball? Let's pretend that he is legit when he says, don't bet on it, never wanted to, never did. What kind of trouble can he get into from Major League Baseball?
I don't think he'll get into anything from it. I mean, I really don't. I think, you know, like let's say that he thought this was a loan and he was paying it off for his friend. If as long as he's being honest about it, like I don't see that there's anything that Major League Baseball is going to do. The last time a player was involved with an illegal bookmaking operation, it was Jared Cozart. You may remember, pitched for the Marlins and the Astros, was a Phillies prospect for a while. Yeah, really good fastball, but never stuck around, in part because I think they're for reasons. But he was involved with one in 2015 and had to pay a fine, right? So I think the worst thing that happens is that he ends up getting fined, as long as it's being shown that he's not, that Ohtani was not betting on baseball, and there is nothing to suggest that he did. Now, I think it's much fairer to question his interpreters, you know, what he says he didn't bet on, because we have a long history of untruths from him, right? A 90-minute interview from ESPN that he said was all lies. You know, the Athletic report that he misrepresented what his college education was. Like, you know, he said that he went to UC Riverside, and Riverside has no information of him being there. Now, maybe he went under a different name. Who knows? But all of that stuff is possible, you know, and I think probably more likely than what you would have with Ohtani. And otherwise, it's just like, I think in the end, you know, what the league has to hope for, too, is that it's just like a guy whose friend made a lot of bad decisions, and sometimes even your good friends end up being bigger derelicts than you anticipate, right? So, I mean, Josh, your friends deal with that all the time, right? Like, it's like,
yeah, John Bishop,
we thought we were great friends,
and they're like,
man, Josh is a derelict.
Yeah, bingo. What is the tale of this story? By tale, T-A-I-L. Like, how long is this thing going to last? Because I almost wanted to say, how long will this hang over the season? But I guess it's until it's over. But what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, charges filed against Mizuhara. I mean, I think that's, you know, or some sort of settlement comes about as a result of it, where, you know, I mean, if it's theft and he's being investigated by the IRS too, I mean, there's probably, you would think if he did something wrong that there would be charges that are coming at some point. So I don't know when that would be. I mean, the government doesn't tend to move quickly on these things. So I think it's probably something that's going to be at least in the back of the heads of most everyone for a while. And so it just doesn't go away when you're as famous as Shohei Ohtani is too. So
no.
I think that's probably, I think this is probably more towards the head than the tail of whatever animal the story is.
Most interesting on-field story you're watching for is where we begin the season.
Most interesting on-field story? Boy, that's a tough one. I think there's a lot of them that are interesting.
Sure.
I think this is, I feel like I'm writing a really lousy book report now, right? It's like, of all the stories that could happen on the field, there are many that could be interesting. Interesting stories are what makes the 2024 baseball season go. I think the National League Central is really interesting to me because those teams are better, I think, as an aggregate than the American League Central teams, but they're not great.
Right.
And that makes for a really compelling race. Like, it would not be surprising to see first and last separated by 8 games over the course of the season, which, you think about it, isn't much, right? Like,
no.
6-game difference is 1 win a month. So, like, I think that is one of the compelling stories. I think Atlanta is just a really compelling story because I think it has gotten lost in all of the activity for the Dodgers and the attention on getting Ohtani and Yamamoto, how good the Braves still are. Like, I was doing an interview earlier today. We were talking about, you know, I appreciate that there are more people that are doing predictions that are going to kind of a tiered system rather than like just ranking them, right? Because I think it's more accurate. But there are an awful lot of people that put the Dodgers and the Braves on the same tier, and I don't think that's right. I think it's Atlanta, and then there's a gap.
And then a gap.
And then there's the next group of teams, right? So I think that one's interesting. I think Baltimore is clearly an interesting story coming off a 100-win season. Can they repeat that without Felix Bautista at the end of games? New ownership expected to get control of the club tomorrow. Like, I think that's an interesting story. I think the National League West should be very competitive, 1 through 4. I think Seattle is an interesting story because they have reworked their offense in the hopes of it being more consistent and a better team, and certainly the top three guys in their rotation are as good as anybody. Do the Yankees big play for Soto work? You know, I think that's another one. Is the Yankees have, it's interesting because like I was corresponding with Dan Szymborski, who does the Zips projections for Fangraphs, a few months ago. And I asked him about variability when they run these, you know, what happens, they basically run the season 10,000 times, mm-hmm. right? And that's where you get the percentages. So like, if you see in the Zips projection that a team is, you know, projected for 83 wins. Well, that's a 50th percentile projection. That means half the time they're above that number, half the below. And I asked him what the biggest variability was, and he said it was the Yankees, was the team that had the biggest variability of outcomes, because if their star players are hurt, they're toast. And that, I think, is really interesting to me, because a lot of it is on Judge and Soto and Cole, who's now going to miss 2 months. And, you know, does Rodon bounce back? Is Cortez healthy? Is Giancarlo Stanton better? Like, those things are really real questions, I think, about New York. And so I'm kind of interested in that as well. I think those would be some of the ones just kind of off the top of my head that would be interesting storylines for me going into 2024.
Mike Farron back, folks.
A weekly segment.
I should say Husker expert Mike Farron.
Yeah, he nails it.
He is our most accurate Husker prognosticator the last 3 years.
5-7.
Can I ask a question? You guys, you guys cover college sports, right?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
How is it that Washington now has 3 athletic directors in the same time that ASU hasn't added any?
Great question.
Good question.
Yeah.
It helps that Washington's now in the big boys league and ASU got left behind.
They're in the Big 12.
Well, but I don't know if you know this, but it's really the Big 2, and then there's every, you know, the tier system, the Braves, that would be the SEC and the Big 10, and then there's a gap.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. And I mean, then, like, yeah. Listen, I get that you know, that they're shopping at Saks and that the Big 12 is shopping at, like, Joseph A. Bank, but still, that makes nice clothes.
You can get 6 suits for, like, $150 each.
You can.
Oh. Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, conferences like the MAC are now shopping at Kohl's, where you can get 6 suits for $150.
Where's the Pac-12 shopping?
The Pac-12 is not shopping anymore.
No more shopping.
They're
They've got a lot of money, though. It looks like that they're going to be able to. You know, the Pac-12 is going to exist again, or the Pac whatever is going to exist again.
Something some that will replace the Pac-12 will exist. Yes.
Right. Yeah,
we've secretly replaced John's Pac-12 with.
And then we get
the Mountain West Conference.
And then we get Chris Farley, and he's freaking out, and he's going off on the waitress.
Can I ask Farron a baseball question?
No, we're way past time now,
okay,
Nick.
That's fine. I understand.
You'll enjoy this. Nick will probably ask better baseball questions this year than Josh will.
Cool. Farron, the Rockies. Oh, hey, it's me. The Rockies were the only team to get graded an F.
You get distracted with your reflection like a dog does.
He's going on a trip to Las Vegas this week. With Josh
and Happer,
so he's looking for gambling tips.
All right, he's not. He's being genuine.
I'm being genuine.
He's being genuine, Mike. Ask your question, Nick. We're way past time.
Thank you. The Rockies were the only team that the Athletic gave an F for the offseason because they didn't do anything. They got a couple really bad pitchers for some reason. Is there anything they can do to catch up to the rest of the NL West, or are they going to be the first team to have 2 100 loss seasons in a row?
Yes, change their name to the Braves and get all their players.
They're not going to be very good this year.
No.
I mean, they have some talent in their farm system, but it's not – they are as behind the times as any organization is and has been. I mean, in terms of how they – use data, technology, player development. They have some like legendary scouts that are helping to run that organization, but they have not kept up, and their owner is very heavily involved in the decision-making processes there, and I don't think he's always made the right decisions. So I believe it is going to be difficult for them. You know, it's tough to lose 100 games in a season, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Astros did it 3 times in a row once. That's a lot. I don't know if they're going to lose 100 again, but they're not going to be very good. They're far and away the worst team in that division. Yep.
Tovar's probably not moving the needle anymore, is he?
He's a solid player. Like, I like Tovar. I think he's got a chance to be a good everyday shortstop, but there's not.
I love how Nick's questions are triggering you.
They're not triggering me. I'm just confused.
Do you not know who Ezekiel Tovar
no,
is?
No, of he just course I don't.
7 years.
He,
just,
like, he knows who just Ezekiel Elliott is. But.
Yes, he might be back on the Cowboys, and I don't really like that very much.
We have a shortstop now. He's That's like great. Our Bobby Witt Jr.
I hope he's good. I'm happy for the Royals.
I'm proud of Nick, by the way.
Good job, Nick.
I love that he is of baseball now.
Hey, he likes football, too.
Was that a competent question, Farron?
It was a very good one. It was way better than anything Josh.
Sean asked, what are you excited for? And you're like, wow, what an amazing question. I ask that crap every week, and you make fun of it.
It's all in how you ask the question.
Josh, it's because I like John better.
I know, because he likes baseball.
I love baseball. Looking forward.
John and I have been on ghost tours together. When have we ever done that?
That's right.
Let's go on one when you come to Omaha this summer, Farron.
It was a really bad ghost tour, but it was
Mike,
a ghost
come
tour.
Come for a run with me. We could bond over running.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right,
Mike Farron, ladies and gentlemen. See ya. He'll join us on Wednesdays.
Bye, Mike.
He'll join us on Wednesdays this season.
How fun is that going to be?
Baseball.
Tuesdays, by the way.
Yeah, Tuesdays.
Oh, no, Tuesdays. I'm sorry, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
I get my days mixed up.
Yeah, because you're not paying attention to Creighton baseball right now, as we all know.
Thank you for letting me ask Farron a question. I know.
Yeah,
we're
next time, don't do it so late to the clock, Nick.
I wanted to, and then you guys started talking about football. You're a producer.
I have to backseat produce the producer on the air.
Well, that's all right, because Sip's not joining us today.
That's true. He's not.
But the happy hour is next.
Hell yeah.
It's our last happy hour together.
Until next Monday.
Until
if Creighton goes to the Final Four, what day of the week are you leaving?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'm just wondering.
I'm hoping that's a problem.
You would be very happy.
I would be very
happy.
Jason
Creed!
He probably would have something to say about that.
Uh-huh.
1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.